our marching design. What an encouraging song, and we appreciate the fact that you're here with us today. It's a privilege to once again be able to call our attention to the Scriptures and encourage you to get your Bible and come with me back to the book of Numbers in chapter 20 for just a few moments. In Numbers 20, beginning in verse 22, we read where the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because he rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. That's Numbers chapter 20, verses 22 through 29. As we read that and studied that in our Through the Bible study, it made an impression upon my mind. I thought about going up into Mount Hor. I've often wondered about that trip that Moses, Aaron, and Eleazar made as they went up into Mount Hor, and I'd like for us to just kind of put ourselves back at that time. If you'd been Moses, if you'd been Aaron, if you'd been Eleazar, or if you'd been one of the congregation of the children of Israel, surely an impression would have been made upon our minds at that time, as it is even this day as we read about the event that transpired on that particular occasion. There's not a whole lot of detail that's given to us about the trip or what took place, other than the fact that Moses and Aaron's son Eleazar made the trip up into Mount Hor, and there was provision that was made for the transfer of the priesthood from Aaron to his son Eleazar, and the fact that Aaron would die in the mount because of his rebellion against God, of which we read in the earlier section of this chapter. But I've often wondered about the things that are not disclosed or recorded. I wondered about their trip as they made that journey up into Mount Hor. I wonder if they had a conversation on their way up there and what they would have talked about. I wonder if they talked about that occasion of the rebellion in chapter 20, or if they were just silent, if they didn't say a word as they made their trip. I've wondered about that. I wondered when he got up into the mount and we find that transition, that transfer of the garments from one to the other, and the Bible says that he died there. I wonder how that happened. I wonder what took place. I wonder if that happened just instantaneously or immediately, if he just fell over, or how that happened. Was there any pain associated with that? The Bible just says that he died there in the top of the mount. And so there are several things that I've wondered about as I read this section where they went up into Mount Hor that's not revealed. The Bible does not tell us. But there are some things that I'd like for us to think about in regard to going up into Mount Hor. I'd like to, first of all, think about the fact that the Bible teaches that one of these days you and I are going to go up into Mount Hor. There's a sense in which we're going to make that journey to the top of the mount, in that the Bible teaches that death has passed upon all men. In the book of Romans, in chapter 5 and in verse 12, Paul taught that death has passed upon all men. You know, in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 89 and verse 48, the psalmist said, What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Why, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5, For the living know. What is it that the living know? That they shall die. And when Paul wrote the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22, he said, For as in Adam, all die. That means there's going to come an occasion when you'll die, and unless the Lord comes first, that's going to happen to all of us. We're going up in to Mount Hor. And the reason that we're going up into Mount Hor is basically the same reason that Aaron had to go up into Mount Hor, and that's because of sin. Notice in Numbers 20 and in verse 24, the Lord had instructed Aaron should be gathered unto his people, for he should not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because he rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. That goes back to the earlier section of this chapter when the people were in Kadesh, where Miriam died and was buried. And because of a lack of water, they began to murmur or to complain. They gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron and chode with Moses and spake, saying, "Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into the wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? Wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt, to bring us in unto this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink." And the Lord instructed Moses to gather the people together and to speak to the rock, and to bring forth water for the people. And the Bible says in verse 10, Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, "Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" And he took the rod, and with it he struck the rock twice. And the Lord said in verse 12, "Because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye should not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." This is the water of Meribah. Because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. And so it was because of their sin against God, their rebellion, that they would not be allowed to enter the promised land. They would die on that side of the Jordan. And God keeps his word. What God said would happen did take place, and the death of Aaron here in Numbers chapter 20 is evidence of that. But he died because of his sin. And that makes an impression upon our mind that death comes as a result of sin. It's always been that way. When God gave the first law back in the garden, he said, "Of every tree thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And the word death simply means a separation from. They died that day, they ate in chapter 3, when they were separated from God. But physical death came as a sentence as well. The Lord said unto Adam, that "Of dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." And as you remember in the book of Romans in chapter 5 and in verse 12, the Bible teaches that death is a consequence of sin. When Paul wrote the saints in Rome, he talked about how that death is passed upon all men, and that all have sinned. There are those who misuse that passage to teach that sin is inherited, but it's not that sin is passed from one generation to the next, but the thing that passed upon all men is death, and the reason for that is sin. Romans 5:12 reads, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The wages of sin is death," Romans 6 and verse 23 says. And when James talked about enduring temptation, James 1:12 through 15, he made the point that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so it is appointed unto men once to die, Hebrews 9, and in verse 27. And so as I took my journey back to Numbers 20 and thought about going up into Mount Hor, I thought about the fact that death has passed upon all men, and the reason that we die is because of sin. But also I thought about the fact that it really won't be very long until we reach the top of the mount. Have you thought about the fact that our journey into Mount Hor is really not a very long journey? The Bible teaches that our life here on earth is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away in the book of James in chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. And so James said, you ought to say, "If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Sometimes we get busy and we start making all kind of plans that we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and we have plans for tomorrow and the next day and maybe next year, and we need to entertain that question, what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for how long? A little time, and then vanisheth away. And so it won't be very long until we make our ascent to the top of Mount Hor. I read also in the book of Job, where in chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, "Man that is born of woman is of few days. He cometh forth like a flyer and is cut down." And so we're saying, as the life of a flyer, as a breath or a sigh, So the years that we live as a dream hasten by. True, today we are here, but tomorrow may see just a grave in the veil and a memory of me. We also sing a song, It Won't Be Very Long. And how true that is. The days of our years are 70 years, the psalmist said. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off. And we fly away. And in light of the brevity of our earth life, he said, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That's Psalm 90, verses 10 through 12. And so, we're headed to Mount Hor. We're headed there because of sin. And it won't be very long till we reach the top of Mount Hor. But I want to think with you about what happens for just a few moments when we make our ascent to the top of the mount. What happens in Mount Hor? You know, the Bible simply says of Aaron that he would be gathered unto his people. That's an expression of death. The Bible says that the congregation saw that Aaron was dead as Aaron died there on the top of the mount. There's not much said about what happened other than the fact that he died, that he was gathered unto his people. Those are expressions of death. But what exactly took place in that mount? We learn that from other passages of Scripture that describe death. We know from the book of James chapter 2 and verse 26 that the body without the spirit is dead. And so what exactly took place in Mount Hor is that Aaron's spirit departed from his body. And so death is described as a departure. Remember Paul, when writing the Philippians, in chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, said he had the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And when he wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, some of his last words are recorded, when he said, the time of my departure is at hand, 2 Timothy 4, and then verse 8. And so death is a departure. It's a departure of the spirit from the body. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we have that process described when the preacher Solomon appeals to the young person to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come or the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. He's talking about the difficult days of advanced age, and he begins to describe the things that happen as a natural part of life. As he talks about some of the features of the characteristics of one who is well along in years. He talks about the almond tree flourishing. That's a reference to the hair turning white. Those that look out of the windows be darkened. That's a reference to the eyesight becoming dim. We can't see as well as we once did. The daughters of music are brought low. The vocal cords aren't as strong as they used to be. The sound of the grinding is low, and so we can't hear as well as we once could. And he appeals to the young person to remember God, to be mindful of your responsibilities before God now, before those difficult days come. Those years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And when he gets through with that description of the aging process, he pictures death when he says in verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit unto God who gave it. That's what happens when we die. This body, this tabernacle that houses the soul, will simply begin to go back to the dust from whence it came. But the soul, the spirit, that part of you that is immortal, that is eternal, will live on. It will go back unto God who gave it. You see, there's more to us than just this physical body. And it's easy for us to forget about the fact that we are a dual being, that we are composed of body and soul or spirit, that there's a part of us that will outlive this body and will even survive or outlive this world. For the world is temporary. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. And Peter said, the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. But there's a part of you that will outlive this world. And that is the soul, the spirit, that invisible, immortal part of you. And that's your most valuable part. Because Jesus said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Or what shall a man be profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul, Matthew 16 and verse 26. And so what happens when we go up into Mount Hor? The Bible teaches that the spirit will depart from the body. The body will go back to the dust from whence it came. It's just temporary house. And the spirit, the soul, will go back unto God who gave it. But also, as I thought about going up into Mount Hor, I thought about the fact that there's basically two ways in which you and I can make that journey up to the top of the mount. And that is, we can do that in our sins, or we can do that in the Lord. Now, death comes as a result of sin, but we don't have to die in our sin. And we don't want to die in our sins, for in the book of John 8 and in verse 24, Jesus said, "If you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." And in verse 21, He said, "Whither I go, ye cannot come." He was going to heaven. He was returning to the Father. And so I cannot go to the Father in heaven if I die in my sins. And God has made it possible for me to escape my sins, that I don't have to make that journey or that trek up into the top of Mount Hor in my sins, because Jesus, His Son, came to ransom us, to rescue us from all sin. In Ephesians 1 and verse 7, Paul wrote of Jesus, "In whom we have redemption, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." And the Holy Spirit has revealed within the book that you have in your hand today the plan whereby you can be saved from your sins. It involves us hearing the Lord. Remember in Matthew 17, another mountain scene, when the Lord took Peter, James, and John up to that high mountain, the part was transfigured, and there appeared on the scene with Moses and Elijah, and Peter thought he had a good idea. He said, "Lord, let's make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he yet spake, there's a bright cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud that said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Representing the fact that the day had come when men would no longer hear and hearken to Moses or the prophets, but Jesus Christ. He's that prophet that was raised up like unto Moses, Acts 3:23. And we're to hear him and all things that he says. And so our first responsibility is to hear Christ. We hear Him as we read the Bible, or as we're taught, as we're being taught even this day. We hear the Lord. And in the book of Acts chapter 2, when the first sermon was preached, that was the first appeal that Peter made. Hear these words, Acts 2, and then verse 22. But also we need to believe. We must have faith. And that's how faith comes, by hearing. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. I can't expect to please God if I don't have faith, if I don't believe. And what is written in this book is sufficient to cause me to believe. Remember the works that are recorded in the Gospel according to John? John said, "These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you might have life." John 20, 30. Through 31. But we must also repent. The Lord expects us to make a change in our life, to quit doing those things that are contrary to the Word and do what is right in the sight of God. That's repentance. In Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." God commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17 and then verse 30. And the Bible teaches that a confession is to be made of our faith. In the book of Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 32, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Jesus, when he talked with his disciples, as he entered the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked him, "Who do men say that I am?" And there were different answers given to that. Some thought he was John the Baptist or Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And then he said, "But whom say ye that I am?" Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Upon this rock, this grand ledge truth that I am the Son of God, I'll build my church." And everyone who enters the church admits and confesses the sonship of Jesus. Just like the man of Ethiopia who said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, what do you say? "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Would you make that confession? And then he stopped the chariot upon the confession of his faith, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Baptism is necessary for us to be saved. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized should be saved," in Mark 16 and in verse 16. And so as you think about going up into Mount Hor, you don't have to go that way in your sins. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 10, verse 38. And your sins can be forgiven and forgotten. Or it may be that an individual has already been baptized, has obeyed the gospel, but finds himself in a state where his heart is not right in the sight of God. That was the situation with Simon in Acts 8. Here's a man that had been baptized. But as he continued with the apostles, he thought that he could purchase the gift of God with money. He said, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." And Peter said, "Thy money perish with thee. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." He could have been told, you have no hope. Could have been left there helpless. But he was told, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven." And he said, "Pray to the Lord for me." What a wonderful avenue we have, that when we sin, we can pray to the Lord, or others can pray to the Lord for us, and we can be forgiven of our sin. And so there's no reason for us to go to the top of the mount, as you think about going up into Mount Hor, in our sins. God's grace has made it possible for us to be saved. Titus chapter 2, and in verse 11, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." That doesn't mean that every man's going to be saved. But God's made provision for all who choose to be saved, to be saved. All those who obey Him. Hebrews 5 and in verse 9. We can go in our sins, or we can go in the Lord. And that's the way we want to go, in the Lord, in Christ. In Revelation 14 and verse 13, John was told to write, "Blessed are the day which die in the Lord." The only death that is described as being blessed is the death of one who dies in the Lord. And it's when we're baptized into Christ that we enter the Lord. As Romans 6:3 and Galatians 3:27 both talk about being baptized into Jesus Christ. And so when we go up into Mount Hor, what will be our spiritual condition? Will we reach the top of the mount, and when it's said of us that we're gathered to our people, or we die, will we be in that occasion in our sins, or will it be in the Lord? But also, as I thought about this occasion when we read of Aaron and Moses and Eleazar going up into Mount Hor, I thought about the fact that once we go, there's no return. That was true of Aaron, wasn't it? He did not return to the congregation. He would not return to his earthly task. His work here on earth was done. And so when we reach the top of the mount and we are gathered unto our people, it brings an end to our earthly existence. There's a finality to death. There's no coming back to this life. Aaron could say, "Well, wait a minute, let me go back." No, his work here on earth was done. And the Bible emphasizes that in several places. David recognized that fact when, after his sin with Bathsheba and the death of the child came, in 2 Samuel 12 and verse 23, he said, "Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." The rich man learned that, didn't he? Remember the scene in Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus? He desired that one would go back from the dead to his father's house to warn them. But that was not possible. And he said that though one came from the dead, they had not believed. They had Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And so we have all that we need, all the evidence that we need right here within the written word. And if we'll not hear God's appointed spokesman, we wouldn't believe, even if one came from the dead. There is no return. And so whatever it is that we want to accomplish, we want to do, whatever it is that we need to take care of, we need to take care of that, don't we? We need to see to that. We need to be busy about getting that accomplished. Because once we go, there's no return. And then finally, I want us to think about the fact that when we go up into Mount Hor, we don't know when that's going to happen. Now, Aaron did. Aaron knew exactly when he went up into Mount Hor that he'd not be making that trip down. And so I think about that. And I think about the impression that that would have made upon the people. Here, you see three men go up into the top of the mount, and only two men come back down as Aaron died and was gathered unto his people. And you think about making that trip. We don't know when that's going to be. Aaron knew that that was going to be his last journey. Can you imagine making that trip, knowing that you're going the last mile of the way? And there are those who sometimes know that. There are those who sometimes don't. And we don't always have any way of knowing that. You think about, for example, a doctor who would give you a clean bill of health. There have been those who have been given a clean bill of health and have just fallen over dead the next day. And so that's no guarantee. And then there have been occasions where there have been those who have told they just have a few days or a few weeks to live, and they've lived for several years. And so men don't always know, and we don't have to. It's not a matter of when we die, but how we die, and whether or not we're ready for that occasion. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8, verses 6 through 8, to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him, for he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. And again, in chapter 9 and verse 12 of Ecclesiastes, for man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. It's no wonder that why Solomon said what he did in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Oftentimes we have plans for many years. Remember the rich fool? He said, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. As he had made plans for many years, and yet God said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And so we don't have any way of knowing, really, as to when it will be that we reach the top of the mount, but we know we're going that way. We're journeying toward Mount Hor. And I could not help but have these lessons impressed upon my mind when I read and studied Numbers chapter 20, verses 22 through 29. And I hope that a reminder of the fact that we're headed toward Mount Hor will be beneficial to each one of us, and that above anything else, we'll be ready for that occasion. Jason has selected a fitting song as a song of invitation, number 608. We're going to sing that in just a moment, to give you an opportunity to ready yourself for this occasion. The song begins by suggesting, soon the evening shadows falling close the day of mortal life. Soon the hand of death appalling draws thee from its weary strife. And the question is, are you ready? Are you ready? 'Tis the Spirit calling. Why delay? Are you ready? Are you ready? Do not linger longer. Come today. And we've talked about how it is that we ready ourselves for that occasion. If there are those among us who need to be baptized, we'd be happy to take care of that, to assist you in making that confession of your faith, that you might put the Lord on in baptism. Or maybe you've already done that, but you've not been the kind of Christian that you need to be. There's sin in your life that needs to be corrected. Would you take care of that? If it's private nature, you can take care of that privately in praying to God about that. If it's a sin of a public nature that needs to be corrected, you can take care of that publicly. We'd like to assist you in whatever way we can to encourage you to be ready for reaching the top of Mount Hor. As together we stand and sing, will you come?